Gas producers have held emergency talks as the federal government threatens to impose export controls in the face of a looming East Coast shortage next year. The ACCC says producers are taking more gas from the market to sell overseas at higher prices, and the result could be a 10% shortfall in supply by 2023. Publicly, gas producers have accused the ACCC of demonising them, but reports this morning suggest the three largest East Coast suppliers are preparing a plan to address the government's concerns. The person they have to address that to is Madeleine King, the Minister for Resources. She joins us from our Parliament House studio this morning. Minister, welcome.
Good morning, Patricia. And before we go to the issues of the day, the very most important issue of my day is just acknowledging David Mundy's retirement from the Fremantle Football Club. I'm a firm fan. I've watched many games David's played, so I want to pay tribute to him and recognise his exceptional efforts at footy.
Absolutely. A really long and very successful run. All right, let's get to what Absolutely. You're going to do here. You've said you don't want to have to trigger the Australian domestic gas security mechanism. So what do producers need to do to persuade you that there will be enough gas for domestic users?
Yeah, I do want to be clear. The triggering of the mechanism is absolutely on the table. Like this is, well, we're getting it back on the table, to be honest, because it was... the former government failed to renew that mechanism. So we're making sure it is available as one of the levers of government in relation to domestic gas supply. But I am heartened to hear the response of the gas companies involved. And to be honest, we've been in contact very regularly over the past few months, ever since we came into government, about potential issues in the industry. And the ACCC report is obviously the catalyst for action from many parts of the system. And I'm really, as I said, heartened that the gas industry itself is looking toward bringing us a solution. And I'd be very happy to look at that when they do so.
What criteria will you use to determine whether to trigger the first stage of the mechanism?
Well, the mechanism as it exists now, the mechanism created in 2017, which we are reviewing, that current mechanism is based on a supply shortage. And the ACCC report is the evidence that, I guess, triggers the trigger, so to speak. So, you know, it is about supply in the first instance, in this instance, and the 56 petajoule or 14 cargo equivalent supply shortfall is what we'll be taking into account as we consider whether to issue the notice of intent to use that mechanism.
The industry has accused the ACCC of demonising them. They've said publicly there won't be a shortfall. What are they saying to you?
Well, they haven't said that directly to me, and I guess everyone is entitled to their views. My view is that the ACCC is a highly respected institution. It does a great deal of work in competition law and other things of great concern for the Australian public. So I don't think it helps to accuse them of demonising an industry, but nonetheless, people are entitled to their views. I will, as I said before, work with the gas industry to come up with solutions. I do think it is a more constructive approach to take to work together rather than to intervene more in the market. There's been a lot of intervention already, and that has been sensible and thoughtful and has worked to the benefit of the Australian consumer. This is another mechanism that is on the table. We can use it. I would rather find a solution.
But, you know, the threats, and yet this is an industry that has demonstrated it is stuck in this prism. Don't you need to actually show real action rather than just threats?
Well, I think we are showing real action. We've extended the mechanism by 10 years. And if you read the submissions that I have seen, you'll know that not everyone supported that extension for that period of time. But we are making sure it's available to this government and future governments well into the future. So these things have happened. We are also, as I said, extending it so that it is actually available. So I was pretty clear yesterday that I'm preparing to issue the notice of intent to use this mechanism. So that's the action available to us. Renegotiating the heads of agreement is also an important piece of work that is commencing right now. And I know, or I've read reports rather, that the companies involved are actively working on what they think would be most helpful to resolve the situation. So action is being taken, Patricia, and we are very much focused on making sure there's adequate supply and it's available at an accessible means and accessible price to domestic consumers.
You've said gas producers are facing a decline in their social licence. So that decline, some people would say it's actually gone. That social licence is gone. Many commentators very concerned about that. So what consequences will they face for a decline in this social licence?
Well, I mean, they have a decline, but I would not say it's gone. I mean, the gas industry employs thousands of people around the country, and new gas projects and shutdowns of these extraordinary facilities also employ many extra hundreds of people at a time in the areas where they are situated. So there are many people working in this industry on the plants themselves, but also in the major cities and regional towns around this country that are very supportive of the gas industry because it provides for their livelihood. So I don't think we should dismiss them or their good work. The social licence in the wider public, it can be an issue. And I guess the consequence for them is, they have to put up with the public opinion and what they see in the press.
If they're making record profits, though, Minister, I don't know if they care that much about public opinion.
Well, I think everyone cares about public opinion, Patricia.
Well,
I do.
You might, because you have to face the electorate. They don't.
But they also have a workforce, and people, and this is what we see across the resources industry, there are many reasons why the resources industry are leaning hard into all achieving net zero emissions by 2050, because they know people want to work for good companies trying to achieve good things in this world. So, that's part of their issue as well. They want to have good reputations because they want people, good people, the best people, the most skilled people in the country to work for them. So, everyone's got an interest in being liked, so to speak.
You've avoided criticising New South Wales and Victoria for their restrictions on gas exploration. Don't gas producers have a point that those restrictions have reduced the available supply on the East Coast?
Well, it is a matter of fact, and I'm not passing any judgment, that if you don't explore and you are unwilling to look for gas or use gas, then you will have less gas available to you. It's just a matter of fact, and New South Wales and Victoria have chosen that path.
Should they revisit that path?
That is up to them.
But in your view, as the Federal Resources Minister, do you think they should revisit?
I'm really not going to get into an argument with states that have chosen paths. Like they're very forward leaning into moving to renewables, but it will be a question for them, and they have to face their constituencies. I'm sure the people of New South Wales understand that 80% of their power generation is from black coal, and in Victoria, 65 or 75% on any given day is from brown coal. So they've got a big challenge in both those states to move through a pathway to renewables, but they're taking it on, and I applaud them for that. What they've been missing is a national framework around clean energy, which we will put in place with Minister Bowen to make sure that they can attract the investment into those renewable projects as soon as possible.
Are you still considering a domestic reserve policy?
What we'll do is work with states. I would note that Queensland has instigated a domestic policy for future reserve exploitation, and if Victoria or New South Wales were to move toward further gas extraction, we'd work with them to see that they also implemented some kind of reasonable domestic gas reservation policy. A national gas reservation policy has constitutional issues associated with it, and to be frank, reverse engineering one now to apply to the whole export industry on the East Coast is an extraordinary task. And
it might be extraordinary, but some argue it might be also necessary. Have you ruled it out?
As I've said before, everything is on the table. I just think that is an extraordinary complication when we can have an industry-led solution that, you know, we'll have a lever of government sitting on top of it to make sure that is enacted so that people have the domestic gas supply they require.
If this can't be resolved and there is a shortage next year, will the federal government ultimately be to blame if you haven't gone stronger now?
Well, it's hard to see how a federal government can be blamed for long-term contracts that go overseas to international investments that were set up many years ago.
But this is your window, right?
The thing is,
you know,
it's absolutely
looming.
Absolutely. And we will work to make sure that trigger is available to have the uncontracted gas, and even, you know, the trigger works to stop contracted gas going overseas. It's a very serious matter to introduce export controls, especially in relation to international investors. And it gets referred to in the press sometimes as international clients, but they're not just ordinary clients with deep pockets. They're international companies that supported by their governments to secure energy for those countries' future, such as Japan and Malaysia. So we have to respect the billions of dollars of international investment that has gone into these facilities, as well as making sure we have adequate domestic gas supply.
Minister, thank you for your time.
Thanks very much, Patricia. Good to chat.
Madeleine King is the Minister for Resources. You're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.